certificate to graduate professional student assembly. Okay.
My name is Janet Pertesi. I'm the president of the GPSA.
My name is Arnab Chatterjee. I'm the secretary of the GPSA.
I'm Suoming Wang, the campaign of the Canadian Trail.
I'm Ellen Spiro, event chair.
I'm Yu Yu, Italian policy chair.
Hi, I'm Karen. I'm the finance commission chair.
Okay, and since this is September 11th and 5 years after the terrorist attack that hurt this country and the world, I thought it'd be appropriate to have a moment of silence in remembrance of everyone who has died on that day 5 years ago. So just bow your heads and that's great. Okay, thank you. And I'm going to turn things over to Janet right now, and she is going to explain how the Graduate and Professional Student Assembly works, as well as this body, the Council of Representatives.
Can you hit the card?
Sure.
We don't want to stand at the podium. It's not really how this works. So.
If you can't hear us, just tell us to speak up.
Yell at us and tell us to speak up. So just to give you a quick overview of who we are and what you guys are doing here, and we've already introduced the three executives here. I just want to tell you a little bit about the assembly system, a little bit about the GPSA, how we fit into the university government structure, and what your role is on the Council of Representatives in particular. So the GPSA is one of a series of assemblies. There's about five governing groups in all that are sort of at this level at the university. The GPSA is the Graduate and Professional Student Assembly, but there's also a student council for the undergrads, which is called the Student Assembly, or SA. There's one for staff called the Employee Assembly, EA. The faculty have a faculty senate under the Dean of Faculty Office. And then there's a group called the University Assembly, and they draw together representatives from all of those different groups. So these are the five sort of bodies that have things to do with student, faculty, staff life on campus, and we're the ones that really address graduate students. So the GPSA is sort of a two-part entity. We're comprised of two councils or committees. One of them is called the Assembly, and the other one is called the Council of Representatives. Now, this is the first tricky thing about the GPSA that is really, really easy to confuse, is that there is a small voting body on the GPSA, which is called the Assembly, and that's with 19 seats. Those people are elected into those seats from the Council of Representatives earlier on in the year. I think in May we had those elections. That's how we ended up here today. And we're the ones that sort of do the voting on resolutions that come before the Assembly and are actually sort of in charge of the government structure. So that's the Assembly. But you'd think Assembly is like a really big group. But instead, the Council of Representatives is our really big group, which is confusing because we often abbreviate it CORE. So you'd think the CORE is small and Assembly is big, but actually it's the other way around. So the Council of Representatives is you guys, and this is where we bring together members and representatives from all the different departments and fields and faculties on campus and bring you guys together to address issues of concern to grad students. And the way that works then is that we have these kinds of meetings where not only is assembly business discussed so you can tell your constituents about what's going on at the assembly level, but also you can tell us what's going on at your level, what's going on with your departments, the kinds of issues you see with grad students, and this is a place where we can deal with those issues. So what does the GPSA do? There's a lot of things that we do, but one of the big things that we do is administer the student activity fee, and that's when people pay us $68 this year and next year. We're the ones who decide how much that is and where it's going to go. And we do that every 2 years, and in the off year, we decide how we're going to decide what that is and where it's going to go. So this is an off year where we're going to start doing some deciding of how we're going to decide that. So you're going to see a lot of bylines and regulations come through that that we'll need your input on. But the activity fee turns around and supports all the graduate students on campus in their various activities. If there's a graduate student club or an organization with lots of grads in it, that's where the money will go. And it also goes to support what we call byline-funded groups. These are things like athletics and cinema and that kind of thing. So larger organizations that take more money from there but are providing providing things for graduate students, like the Big Red Barn, for example, gets some money from there. So that's why we have two committees on the GPSA that are responsible for something to do with finance. And I just mentioned this because I remember this confused me for like 3 years. So there is a funding policy committee whose job it is to look at the overall policy of like where this money is going, how we decide where that money is going, what the regulations ought to be. And then there's the Finance Commission, which is the group that actually gives out the money to graduate students. And they have to deal with something like $100,000 that comes to their budget that they then get to distribute. So being on the Finance Commission is a fun job because you get to see all these applications that come in and tell people how much money they're going to get. And the other thing we do is we run a lot of different committees, have a lot of people sitting on external committees as liaisons, and a large part of this meeting today, we're going to have you sign up for things that you're interested in and go back and tell your communities about these possibilities so that they can sign up and join us as well. These may be things that we run here, for example, addressing issues like pay and benefits, where we actually provide advice and input to the graduate school or to the health insurance, people that are deciding the health insurance, that kind of thing. So those committees will run from us, but then there's also external committees, like you'll hear about the Neighborhood Council today. There's also, you know, committees for libraries, and the faculty have some, and the University Assembly has some. So if you're interested in a particular issue on campus, be it, you know, transportation, be it sustainability, be it, you know, more money for grad students or neighborhood care for grad students with kids, there's something out there for you, and we really encourage you to get involved. And the GPSA also serves as a real advisory body for organizations like the grad school, but also the president's office, the board of trustees, who we report to, and various other organizations on campus, the United Religious Works, the store, like whatever. When they want to know what's going on with grad students, then we're really the voice for what's going on with grad students. So that's why we're really happy to have you here. Can you hit a slide? This is a nice little diagram that Mike put together of how the government structure works. So the assembly reports directly to the Board of Trustees, and you'll notice the Council of Representatives in there in the middle really is actually in the middle of everything. One of the biggest and most important roles for the Council of Representatives is to be our communications conduit, not only to our constituents, but from our constituents back up to us, so we know what's going on and we can address it if there's issues of concern that come up. But also, council members are also involved in all of these areas, whether it's if they're sitting on the Finance Commission and supporting graduate student clubs, or coming to our events, or helping people get involved. That's where we really need your help. So next slide is really quick. And I am trying to make this very brief, but... another thing we do is pass resolutions. This is sort of one of the main ways in which the GPSA has some kind of act or say in what goes on in the university, and pretty much anyone can bring a resolution to the GPSA. This, if it gets passed through us, it becomes a sort of official word of graduate students, and it can be pretty much anything relating to Cornell. At our last meeting, we had a statement in support of the president's announcement about the sanctions against Sudan or Sudanese oil companies. So it could be a declaration like that, or it could also be a declaration against some other kind of action that's happening on campus that's affecting grad students, or some suggestion. So you're all welcome to participate in that way. And you submit them, first of all, to us at the executive committee, usually, and then we can introduce them at the council meeting. Sometimes they just sort of naturally arise at a council meeting, though, but just sort of keep an eye out for that. And if you want to have a look at some of these that we've passed in the past, they're on our website, which is assembly.cornell.edu/GPSA. And it's assembly because we're under the Office of Assemblies. That's who runs and organizes the four assemblies on campus that are not the Faculty Senate. And we have some representatives here from there today. I was trying to make this not confusing. Is anyone really confused already? Is anyone not confused already? Thanks. Thanks, Kevin. Great. Can we hit the next slide? So just to bring this all home to like what this means for you, if you're on the Council of Representatives, there's a couple of things that we're going to expect from you. One is that you serve as a representative of your field, of your school, of your friends, the committees, the communities that you're involved in, that you communicate those needs to us, to these big meetings, and also that whatever goes on in these meetings, that you can turn around and send that back out to your communities as well. And that could mean notices of events and things that are going on, but also the minutes or transactions of what went on at this assembly meeting. Oftentimes, representatives will take the minutes and sort of condense them and send them out and say, here's what's going on at the GPSA, and send that out to your group. So if you have a mailing list or something at your department, that's a great way to do that. And then, of course, we really rely on our Council of Representatives members to join us on our different committees and work with us there, and also extend invitations to the wider campus community of grad students to join us in service there. So you're going to hear more about committees in a moment, or later on in this meeting we're going to talk about signing up for those and tell you a little bit more about each of them, and the committee chairs will talk about them. But now I think that's pretty much it for me. Any questions? There's probably lots of questions. No. No questions. Okay. If there's any questions that come up at any time as you're going through this and you want to get a hold of us, if you email gpsa@cornell.edu, you'll hit all three of us at the executive, and we can help you out with whatever you have concerns with. So that's just a general overview, because you'll get thrown lots of, you know, acronyms, and people will talk about different things, and I don't want you to get lost. If at any point you do get lost, put your hand up and ask a question, because there's a couple of people here who are happy to help you. All right?
I'd like to accentuate the point that, you know, being on the Council of Representatives is just the start to getting involved, and there's a lot of great opportunities we have here for you to get involved. We have the two master seats on the Assembly today up for election, and we have a slew of committees that you can join, and we really need people to step up and work on these committees, and I see a lot of good people here today to do that. Moving on, I have two things I just want to add in before we move on to the next topic on the agenda. We have these sign-up sheets, just so we can get an idea of who's at this meeting. I'm going to be passing around to each side of the room. If you could put your name, what's the area?
Your field,
maybe your address, phone, and email, net ID, that'd be great. Yeah. So I'm going to hand these over.
That way we can add you to our mailing list.
And I'd also like to welcome President Emeritus Tim McConaughey from last year. Back for a visit. Tim has recently completed his PhD in astronomy and is now at NASA Goddard Space Flight Center.
Almost there.
Welcome back, Tim. Is Richard here? Richard Kiley.
No. I thought he was going to be here today.
That's unfortunate.
That is really
Well, for those of you who have not met him yet, Richard Kiley is the Acting Director of Graduate and Professional Student Life. He is replacing Victoria Blodgett, who left her position at Yale last year. Richard is a former Cornell graduate student, obtained his PhD here, and he's lecturing in, I think, city and regional planning right now, but he's really enthusiastic to work with us, and is so sad that he can't be here today. So moving on, I'd like to introduce Alan Katz of the Athletics Department. Athletics is one of our Byline-funded organizations, and we're asking all of our Byline-funded organizations to kind of submit a report this year and come in front of our assembly to discuss what they have done, what changes are happening this year to them. So, Alan, go right ahead.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Janet. I really like the slide.
Well, I guess we're the executive of the GPSA. So there's executive here, and then there's committee chairs as well. So what does it call that? Operations and Staffing Committee?
Operations and Staffing Committee is up here.
Yeah.
Well, thank you to what she said. And I really applaud you all for giving your time. I remember when I was in graduate school, it was the hardest day I've worked in my life. And I did some of the political activity stuff as an undergraduate. I can't imagine the pressure on you with your research load and most of your teaching load and some of your significant others and families in your study. So I really do applaud you for giving time to this effort. Mike and I met over the summer. There's been some changes within the athletics department, which is me. I started May 1st. Director for Finance Administration. I replaced Frank Arrhenio, who was in that position for 6 or 7 years. Previously, I was the controller at Boone Community College down in Bennington, New York, one of the 30 community colleges in New York State. And I was there for 21 years and I wanted to do something different. So this messed my financial background with my love for athletics and went through the rigorous search process here at Cornell. And I'm really, really fortunate to be here. And and anytime I get to work with students, I do, because that's one of the reasons I went into higher education in the first place. So I really appreciate you inviting me today. Mike wanted me to talk about a couple things. One is the funding that you provide us, and we appreciate that continued for many years now. How that plays in with what's happening within collegiate athletics. Our moving towards charging some nominal fees for some of our sports that had never been charged before, and then the development of the Big Red Sports Pass program. So I'll take you through that, and then at this time, if you have questions about the men's ice hockey ticket sales process, we'll do that at the end. And then you can ask me any other questions. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Okay. For whatever reason, the undergraduate and the athletic department didn't connect at the beginning of this current two-year cycle. I guess you match up on the two-year cycle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the FA did not give us sideline funding, and I've met with their group and talked, and we're working on moving forward with that. But basically, the significant funding that we lost from the FA went into a significant increase in men's ice hockey tickets. That's one of our most attractive ways for raising revenue, and probably many people don't know that out of our entire budget for the athletic physical education department, only one-third comes from universities. Two-thirds comes from gifts, endowments, or sales, and ticket sales, and services that we provide. We're in tough financial condition, and just like any organization, we're trying to make ends meet, balancing revenues with expenditures. So, really, this funding that we lost from the FA was replaced by the increase in hockey ticket rates. The department, and this is all predated me, was considering starting to charge for sports anyway. And studies around the athletic community and other universities found that if you put a $3 or a $5 or a $7 charge on contests that occur on your home campus, that adds value to the activity, recognizes the competitiveness and the student athletes and competing against others, and also has actually increased attendance versus lowering attendance, where if attendance is very low to start with, you can't go to the negative. And coincidentally, I think I shared this with Mike when we had lunch together one day. Coincidentally, President Fortin, who came from Iowa just did this, and they've had very, very good results with attendance and a small nominal charge for some of their minor non-emphasis sports. So, the $3 charge and the Big Red Sports Pass are probably here to stay. And I talked to the FA folks about that, and they're looking to support us in the future, like you have continued to support us all along. The men's ice hockey ticket price for undergrad is going to be $13 a ticket. Plus, we have two extra home games this year, so 20 home games, 18 from last year. So, $260 for one season ticket for each of our home games for grad and professional students. For undergrad, grads are $9 per ticket, and you only went up a few pennies from what it was last year. Does anybody remember what it was? $7.90?
Seven something, yeah.
Right, so it's $9 per ticket times 20 games, $180. So it's $260 for undergrads and $180 for you guys. Now, because and appreciation of and really in fairness with your byline funding for athletics for this year, we could not in good conscience charge those interested for those tickets. One of the things we wanted to give back to all students was a way to that we're paying was to have some kind of discounted plan, and that's where we came up with this idea of the Big Red Sports Pass. So $40 undergraduates can Burzarville and get a sticker that they're going to put on their Cornell ID so they don't have to carry around something else. And if they're paying the $40, we've thrown in a free t-shirt. For graduate students, as of Friday, we'll have from the University Office of the University Registrar, a list of all graduate professional students. The stickers for all students are supposed to be in by next Monday, September 18th. So sometime middle of next week or later, all grad professional students who are interested can come in at the ticket office during normal business hours, Monday through Friday. Air Cornell ID card, and we'll put a sticker on it. We did not provide free t-shirts because you're not paying. So if you want to buy a t-shirt, you just buy it off. And if that becomes popular, we'll have to order more. But you have free admission to all of our concepts except men's ice hockey. And there's a little wrinkle on wrestling. You do have free admission, but because of seating capacity constraints in Friedman Arena, if you're interested, you might have to go pick up a hard ticket, which you won't have to pay for. Guaranteed. You're not locked out. We'll have announcements about those events. So any questions on the funding, the charging this year for new contests, the Big Red Sports Pass, the stickers, and how that applies to you? Any questions on that? I'm really proud of the sticker thing because I know as a student, you know, you have to carry around so many things, and how many people have a transportation sticker on their thing? That's great. So we're going to have this other little thing that's a white background with that.
Yes.
It's going to be very small, a half inch by an inch, one half inch square, and it's going to be in the middle someplace between that transportation sticker and the picture. Or the transportation sticker, some people have the old black one, the rectangle, and now there's a new round one with a ink rubs off. Does anybody have that problem, the ink rubs off? So we're going to either put it there next to your picture or down in the lower left closer to your student. Yeah,
I have a question, just because I'm not really an athletics person, so I don't really know this stuff. But what kinds of things, what kinds of games and stuff can we see? So there's hockey, and everyone knows about hockey because it's like
okay,
a big thing about it. But what other things are out there that we should?
All men's and women's basketball games.
Okay.
Big chart. All men's and women's soccer games.
Okay.
All men's and women's lacrosse games. That's still called. Women's volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
All men's football games.
Oh, okay.
And all the men's and women's indoor and outdoor track events this year will be charged a ticketed event free for you with the Big Red Sports Pass.
Is there women's hockey?
Women's hockey LSL.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So women's hockey will charge for the first time this year, and you'll get it free for that.
Great.
So, question? Bring your ID card to the ticket office in Marcellus Hall, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, sometime, let's say, after a week of Wednesday. Okay. We are still not having received, we have not received the actual stickers from the supplier, they're due in next Monday. So, if you want to call the ticket office, we'll bring them over.
All right. Koji?
Yeah.
They would have to buy a ticket for $3 per ticket. They would do that either at the contest or in advance as they go. So the one of my first assignments was bringing some fresh eyes on the men's ice hockey student ticket sales process. And we got feedback from many students and from folks in the Student and Academic Services Division. And basically, from me learning about the history and some of the pros and cons, we set several goals for the process. One, that the process be safe. Many people have participated in the process. Couple of times. I haven't, I've never been in line of rank for a game, and I'm really looking forward to it. But basically, we want it to be safe, we want it to be fair, we want it to be rigorous enough where avid hockey fans end up in those seats. We wanted this to be the use of technology to make it easy for people to pre-register, and we wanted to preserve some of the traditions of the past, which was the camping out in line, Friday overnight to Saturday, Saturday overnight to Sunday. I think they take it easy on the graduate students, and you only have to be there for 4 hours or so, and then they let you go. And the undergrad. Anita Brenner, who's Associate Director of Charter of Hockey and 17 other sports, and Gene Nyman, our ticket manager, myself. We took this feedback and we came up with this process that's out on the website at cornellbigred.com. And starting next Monday, there'll be an application page up on the cornellbigred.com website, bigred.com website. And that's where you pre-register for showing your interest in having a chance to end up purchasing one per student ticket, season ticket for men's ice hockey for this coming year. After you do that, and that window of time will be open from September 18th through September 26th. So it's a fairly short window. And there is no advantage to being the first one to turn your application in. There's none of that. Once you do that, from September 19th to the 27th, another kind of 8-day period, toggled by a day, you have to physically come with your ID card to the ticket office. Okay? I love that one step. When you pre-register, you're telling us who you are, whether you're a grad student, whether you're a senior, whether you're underclass. And you're also authorizing that tickets are first start billed. The only form of payment this year to save some time during the ticket purchasing process at the very end is you have to pay by virtue of by authorizing first record. So basically, just a little more global view. The back end of the process, which wasn't broken, the camping out in line, it remains. It's the whole front end where how do you get your line number that allows you to camp out in the Raymond Room in Bartell was what needed to be fixed. So we start with this pre-registration, and there's three blocks, and granted, professional students only can register for block one. Okay. And that block of tickets, the same as it's been in the past, is 200 seats are reserved for graduate professional students. And those 200 seats actually purchase or have their first choice of tickets before the other two blocks. Now, let me just focus on the grad professional process, and if you have questions about the other blocks, take a little more time. Basically, you pre-register, say, how many graduate professional students are there? 6,000. 6,000, right?
Yeah.
So say 3,000 want to purchase a season ticket. They all pre-register online, and say 2,000 of them actually really want to do it. So they come to the ticket office with their ID. In the order that they come, they will start receiving a number in blocks, the graduate professional block, 1, 2, 3, all the way up to 2,000. And I can get a sheet of paper with those numbers on. There is no advantage to being 1,999 or the 2,000 person to come through that block. That range of numbers is going to be a random draw. Okay? Whatever that number that's picked will be the first number that starts 200 consecutive numbers that have been lucky enough to be eligible to come up and camp out and purchase tickets. I'll give you an example. Tomorrow, I think, let's say 600 people pre-register, 500 actually go to the ticket office and they get numbers 1 through 500. When the random number is drawn, which is actually at the halftime of the Albany football game on September 30th, you do not need to be there to win or fall in the range. Let's say 451 is pulled out. So the graduate professional students holding 451 through 500, back around 1 through 150. Those are the numbers in that order that comprise the 200 graduate professional students that go to Bartels on October 14th, and we'll purchase tickets with the very first person buying out of 1,600 student tickets, both grad, undergrad, senior, 1,600 tickets. That person who has 451, a brand new trust of students, will have their first choice of what seat they want in the arena. And we do have undergrad section. We do have a grad student section. You have to put the first any section, but probably want to in the grad. Another advantage to the system is that even though anybody can pre-register whenever they want, because it's on the web, groups of people, friends, colleagues, classmates, can come together to the ticket office with their ID so that they will be receiving consecutive line numbers. So if your group's numbers fall in the range, you'll all be able to see them. So there is an advantage to going together. There's no advantage to going first or rushing to the ticket office to have the first number in that line of numbers. This is very complicated to explain, but it's very easy once you actually go ahead. We think it's fair, we think it's safe, we think it's positive, and we're trying to do that. Any questions on how that process works or how it affects you? Okay. The dates to get the number are September 19th through September 27th. It's a Monday, but not Saturday and Sunday. It's like 5 or 6 or something. And that's your leisure, so down there. There may be lines, there may not be lines. You will get a piece of paper, I'm not sure what color it will be. It'll clearly say on it graduate and professional student block. And you will have the next number. Some of the others will come before you. And then whether it's roll call on September 30th or not, it will be up on the web that night. It'll let you know the scoreboard right when it's drawn. And those numbers that are lucky get the camp out on October 14th, which is the night of homecoming, but it was the only weekend we could do it given the religious holidays and fall break and when we have to be in start. And really, really only weekend we could do it. Question?
Of the 200 that are collected, what if somebody doesn't show up or spend the night out? What happens to those?
Good question. It's a waiting list question. The luckiest students of all are if someone doesn't show up or they miss their random line check process of the Bartels and Raymond room, are the people that are the next after the range that was selected. So in the example I used earlier, 451 through 500, 1 through 150 are in the range. They're it. Now, let's say number 99 doesn't show up. 151, who is the next number after 150, without having to camp out in Bartels, they will be emailed and contacted and they get a ticket. So it's like an automatically defaulted waiting list on which if you are unlucky, you could end up being really lucky. Like this. Any other questions?
So really all we have to do is basically go online, sign up, show up to the
ticket office,
get our piece of paper,
wait to see if you're in the range.
Wait to see if we get the number.
If you're not in the range, you're done. If you're in the range, you've got to come up on October 14th at 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm. And all this stuff is explained online at cornellbigred.com.
All online, and I'm going to pass my card around when I'm done. And if you have other questions later on, just write down my information and give me a call.
This might be a really obvious question, but if you don't have a season pass, are there tickets that you can get for individual games?
Sorry?
If you don't have a season pass, can you get tickets for individual games?
Well, that's a good question. The
Dave, you know, I don't know the exact mechanism, but I think several days before the game, there is tickets available for sale, and there are lines that form for that. So I think you can buy general admission tickets that would be for anybody in the public or a student.
So there's no grad-specific?
Not that I know of, but I could find out about that. But what I'm hoping is that, you know, in some years in the past, and Mike asked me this question, I don't know that 200 students, graduate special students, were even interested in using, so the whole block wasn't used up. So we don't want to see that happen. We hope there's over 200 people that are buying for those tickets, but if there's not, we talked about some other things that could be done with those tickets. Maybe some of those could be for individual game sales. By maybe the association, the assembly, or the core, or the executive committee. Of the
for any of us.
Maybe you guys could purchase 10 of those, and then you be in charge of distributing them on a game. But there's a lot of things we can communicate about that can possibly work on. Other questions? Okay.
I have one last one.
Yep.
How's line of rent coming? We're going to have to go down that wire?
They were supposed to have a temporary occupancy permit today for the teams to start practicing on the ice. October 14th, we're scheduled for another temporary occupancy for people to attend. There in December, it should be totally complete.
Great.
We have a backup plan in place to play. You know, our home game is Elmira, First Arena. We have purchased that ice or reserved the right to purchase it, but we think it's going to go. But construction projects and certificates of occupancy are really out of anybody's control right up until the time that they're. Something could happen, something could fall off the truck, there could be a strike, there could be something properly honored 9/11, God forbid anything like that happened. There's no way you can predict, but it looks good.
Good.
Also, Mike, you didn't ask, but you talked about having some nights at some of these events.
Ellen and I have been talking a little bit about that. I think we found one or two dates this semester that would work out to have a sort of grad night out and start it off at a athletic event, probably something like a sport like volleyball, which is, in my opinion, one of our best teams here and one of the best sports to watch.
Yeah, volleyball just went out to Portland, Oregon. They won 3 games out there. They have a phenomenal coach. The coach of women's volleyball, Collins Parker, when she was undergrad, and I don't know what school she was at, she was not only the best female athlete in volleyball in the country, she was named by the NCAA the best female athlete in any sport in the country. And that's our women's volleyball. Nice woman, wonderful recruiter, they have a great team. I think it's a great idea. Maybe after I go, you can talk about it.
It's a lot of options and a lot of great things ahead. So, thank you, Alan.
Okay.
Thank you. I'd like to make a quick change in the agenda just so we can get someone in who has to leave. So we're going to quickly move on to a presentation by Karen Tang, the chair of the GPSA Finance Commission, to explain what the Finance Commission does.
Can you guys all hear me?
Yep, there it is.
So I was a member of the Finance Commission last year, and it was a lot of fun. What we do is we get applications from student groups, we review them, we apply the bylaws and the handbook to these applications. And then we decide on how much that we should give for each group, and that's based on the budget, what event they're holding, and how many members they have, and if the event is representative of the graduate student population. So it's a lot of fun. You get to, the perks of it is that you get free food every time that we have a meeting. It's we meet four times per semester. And also, you get to learn a lot about these groups. For instance, there was this opera that none of us knew about, so some of us attended. There was these Turkish festivals, there was Greek festivals. So it's a lot of fun just to get to know like what kind of groups, events are holding during our school year for graduate students. And also, what we do is we are sort of the initiators of, say, when we look at the bylaws and handbook and there's a confusion about it, or if there's some outdated issues, then we actually get to make suggestions to the funding committee, which you will describe. So we get to say, oh, this isn't working for the graduate students, we wish to make this change. And it's also another good great thing is that you get to sort of encourage students to sort of do certain groups, certain events and co-sponsor with other students so that it becomes more commodity. So I hope that you guys all sign up, and I hope to see you at our first meeting, which I'll probably let you guys know after I know who's on my committee. Thank you.
Okay, back to the agenda. We have an update from the Neighborhood Council. Gwen? Not yet. No.
Not yet. Okay, but they'll be available on the web. What I'd like you to do is to look at those three documents. Now, one of them is two pages, and it's written by Cornell, written by the vice president and the communications. The second document, which is four or five pages, is written by Forrest Thomas. And that document, which was circulating, was supposed to be the document with which we went forward all of us from College Town and El Palo and Bryant Park and all these places, and more or less try to drum up support for colleagues. And so this brings me to something that I think is really important when you serve on a committee, and that is, as graduate students, if there's nothing else we do, it's methodology. And so we don't go out and already have an objective, you know, a final solution in mind. We have a methodology. We have a kind of, you know, way that we go about it that's consistent and, you know, the whole thing. So I was very concerned that this committee was sent out by people who were not elected to drum up support for a particular position, and that the facts were not right. And so now there is a third document out there, and the major author is actually Paul Curtis, not by coincidence, my husband, but I also worked on this issue before I became a student, and I saw the problems in it. And so this brings me to another point, is that if you have something that you know about, and you can serve on a committee in which you bring some kind of insight or expertise or background to it, it's really important. Because sometimes there isn't a decision that you should make. This committee should not be making these kind of decisions. We are not delegates. We don't really have an authority. But we were pushed into this position. So if you can serve on a committee where you bring some kind of levity, and in this one instance I did, I don't for the master plan of Cornell or for the transportation or for some of the other issues, but in this one I did. So I think it's important that as graduate students, we come forward on a committee and bring a voice, and without necessarily having a position, say that the process isn't working, or the facts don't seem right, or people are being pushed out and treating people unfairly, or whatever. So I'm just going to end this by saying that if you will look at those documents with whatever time you have, and if you will see how the rhetoric and the discourse in each of those documents works in a different direction, I think you'll see what I mean. And then if you'll give me your comments back by email, right? Thank you very much. If you'll send me back comments, even if you can only spend 5 minutes and you say this is way beyond anything I can handle, that's important. Because there's no way this committee should have even tried to do this job of deciding whether or not to call here or put up a fence. But the point is that if you, as my constituency, tell me you don't have enough information, or you do, or you already know about this and you have an opinion, or the documents don't give you enough information, or you don't have enough time, or you need meetings, whatever you want to say to me, that's important, because this council actually represents an effort for Cornell to be more transparent. And I think that it's really, really important that I have some information, some actual words from graduate students to put back to this council. Thank you. Questions? Or I think I might be out of time.
Any questions? No questions? I guess if you do have any further questions, you can just email Gwen. Her address is up there. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Now, each of the committee chairs will be giving a presentation on what they do, and calling for you to join them. So please listen up, and I think we're going to start off with Suman and the GPSA Finance Commission. Okay, then we'll start off with Suman. Yeah,
okay. So what is this committee doing here at Cornell? First thing I think we all want to do is we want to make sure we got good pay and we got sufficient benefit as we are like graduate student pursuing our degree here. And first thing we want to look at the stipend levels. So in the past 3 years, every year we got around 10% increase in salary, so which is good, and we're happy about that, and we want to keep it on. And the second thing is the better housing. Housing can be divided into two parts, the off-campus housing and on-campus housing. So we quite often we heard of like students' complaints about their landlord talents and conflicts, their problem with their roommates and stuff like that. And this could be very frustrating because like our life is busy, our research is heavy and stuff like that. Look at our peers, the other Ivy League university, for example, Yale University and University of Pennsylvania, they did a pretty good job in terms of helping students on housing issues. And unfortunately, Cornell University does not provide these kind of services and this kind of help. So especially, I think, for mediation and legal consultation. So we should work on that. And last year, we worked closely with the International Student Scholars Office on these issues. So we lobbied the university to provide more help on these kind of issues, particularly the legal consultation and the mediation. Fortunately, we heard a piece of good news is the university is aware of this need, and they are trying to establish a new off-campus housing office directly under the dean of students. But on the other hand, Cornell is such a decentralized place, and things don't happen overnight. So in order to make things happen, and we should keep working on that. So as far as I know, they have already put a position announcement. They are trying to hire somebody to do that. But we should regularly check in on that and make sure that we will have this off-campus housing office ready for us whenever we need their help. And the other one is the on-campus housing. So on-campus housing is that we used to have this housing advisory group. So this group is consisted of representatives coming from each on-campus residence. For example, Pathbrook and Thurston, Skyler House, and maybe Hughes Hall probably. And we have this group, but because people come and go, and now this group is a little bit inactive, and we want to keep the ball rolling. So we want to pull out this group again and use this to use this as a better channel to talk with the university housing office. And let's see. And the third part is the transportation. Oh, going back to the on-campus housing issues, maybe a lot of people are aware of last year the Hasbrook and the residence is going to accept the undergraduate students to live there, which raise a lot of issues, and that's one thing we cared about, and we want to work on that and provide a better platform for communication especially with the university housing. And the next issue is transportation. So transportation deal with the parking and the bus service and etc. And what else? I think the last thing I want to mention is the better insurance coverage. For example, we want a better plan for dependents and better health care, and as well as the better child care facilities. So if you care about any of these issues, please email me and get involved. My email address is listed here on this piece of handout. It's BW34. Thank you.
And if you're interested in any of the committees that we are presenting or any of the external committees, you all should have the screen sheet of paper, and we're using this as our sign-up sheet today. So if you want to sign up today for any of the committees, fill out the committees in the order of your preference. And if you're not sure, you can go online to our website listed on the green paper. So next up...
There's also a space in the back of the sheet also that allows you to write a little bit more about why you're interested in something, or if there's a particular thing, a particular reason why you want to be there, or something you could really contribute. And you can also, if you don't know which position exactly you want to sign up for, but you're interested in, say, transportation, you just don't know where to go, just indicate that on the form if you're interested in any of those things around that issue, and we'll place you in the right place. Thanks. Sorry to interrupt.
Next up, we have our events chair, Ellen Spiro.
Okay, I'm Ellen. I'm in charge of events. There are a lot of ways to get involved in this committee. Basically, we're in charge of getting people out of their labs and having a little bit more social involvement, fostering interaction between people from different departments in another context, in a fun context. So this is a really good committee, and we can do a lot and be very visible. Last year, how many people went to the grad ball? Okay. Not enough. This year, all of you will go to the grad ball and like it.
Tell them it's sold out anyway.
It was sold out anyway, and we are having a larger venue, Willard Street, this year, if everything works out. So there are going to be changes to that event, figure out why not everybody wanted to go, make it more accessible, more fun. That's only one of our events, but that's really visible. We're talking about having a quiz bowl tournament. A lot of us used to be involved in things like that, and I think that's another really great opportunity to get people from different fields involved. We'll have questions from everyone's department, and I think it could be really, you know, a nice way to come together. We have the grad night out sponsored at different local bars and clubs, and many more things. I'm open to tons of suggestions, and I think we can get a lot of people having fun outside the lab. So email me, EFSH.
Okay. Next up is the Finance Commission. Huh?
Nope.
The Funding Policy Committee.
Hello, I'm Yu. I'm the chair of Funding Policy Committee. Our major role is to monitor funding for GPSA itself. That's also a regular role. It's easily done. Usually, whenever the funding spending comes up, they just email us as members. I think there is a mailing list, and we just decide things on email. Our other function is to monitor the activity fee spending. Last year is the year to decide new activity fee, and there is a lot of discussion process. Also, there is an event when the undergraduates come to us before the slope day. They want to be funded under our they want to become a bilan funded group, but they didn't follow the procedure, so we spent several meetings so they discuss on that. This year we are not determining activity fee. Instead, we are reviewing the procedure to apply for activity fee and to allocate them. So we are also going to update the appendix A and B in our charter. That's a description of how the activity fee are allocated, and also the rules for finance committee to allocate budgets for the student groups, and how those groups, the byline groups, should be responsible after they get funding. For example, the Cornell Concert Commission, Cornell Cinema, Cornell Programming Board, Emergency Medical Service, Cigarette Bomb, and also athletics, they already come to present. So another thing is we will contact these finance funded groups one by one and invite them to come to speak on our meeting. It's written by it's written in our bylaws or charters. We just never carry it out. This year we can do it and really at least let people on this council know how our money is spent.
Just like we just did with athletics.
Yes.
Yes.
Also, we are going to go through the bylaw for Funding Policy Commission. That's the group allocate money to other student groups. Sometimes they have complaints, or maybe a lot of you are involved in student organizations. Maybe you have some complaints about the way the money is allocated. So by sitting in this committee, you are going to change the rules of the funding allocation. The time commitment is very minimum. I think for the bylaw or charter revision, maybe we will meet once or twice this semester, but otherwise everything is done by email. So you don't really need to make up time within your busy schedule. If you're interested, you can email me or talk to me afterwards.
Okay, next up is me. Okay, I am the, getting over a cold here. As Vice President, I am the Chair of the Communications Committee, and I see that as a very important job because I believe that half of what we do as graduate and professional student assembly is communications. and I want to really improve on that this year and improve the flow of information from us to the administration and from us to our constituencies, or our fellow graduate and professional students. And, you know, that's done in a variety of different ways. Over the summer and the past month, I've been maintaining and improving the website that we have, currently updating it with events, news that we have done, and resolutions we passed in the GPSA. Another thing that I'd like to get us started to do is publish an e-newsletter, potentially becoming a newspaper, sort of like the employee's paw print, something that's physical, containing news and a calendar of events, graduate and professional student news, as well as a calendar of events funded by the GPSA and the GPSA Finance Commission. And also, we're going to be sending out periodic emails out to both the graduate and professional student assembly members and the graduate and professional student body at large. So to do this, I basically need a small newspaper staff, which includes a writer for news stories and press releases. If any of you are interested in photography, that'd be great. You know, we just had a reception a week ago with President Scorton, and I was hitting my head against the wall afterwards, saying, why didn't I bring a camera? So I need someone to come to some events with a camera and start taking pictures. I'm hoping that, you know, one of you or someone will jump up and say, hey, you know, I want to start a newspaper. I want to found a newspaper here at Cornell. And a new position I really want to push this year is to create a publicist. And this is going to be a joint appointment between the Communications, Events, and Finance Commission committees. And what this person will do is they will, you know, work with all these three committees to get a list of events and publicize them, either through one of our newspapers or electronic newsletters or on our website. And this person will ensure that all events funded by the GPSAFC and the Byline funded groups are known to the graduate and professional student body. The other aspect of communications is, you know, we need to communicate very well with the other assemblies, because in many ways our work overlaps with their work. There are several positions available there. For example, we need a liaison to the Faculty Senate. There are a couple Faculty Senate committees that are open right now only to undergrads, and I think these committees need a graduate student representative on those committees. So that liaison will start to push that issue this year with the Faculty Senate. Otherwise, you know, it's pretty much, you know, an outreach committee, a committee that says, hey, we are the GPSA, this is what we do, and here's what's going on. So email me. My address is on the bottom of the agenda if you have any questions, and sign up. Most of the stuff we'll do is probably over email and the internet, so we'll probably not meet a lot, but it'd be great to have you. Okay, and Janet is going to talk about other opportunities for involvement.
Yay, involvement! So we're all excited about. That's why we're all here. And I'm going to do this really quickly because we have some other things to do, including electing a new member of the assembly. So those are the main committees that are run and administered by the GPSA itself, and those are sort of the main focus of our activities. But as I mentioned earlier, there's a couple of other things we do. Two things this year under the GPSA is that we're starting two new sort of working groups, mostly starting out under pay and benefits. One is going to be this resurrected residence advisory group, where we'd like to get representatives from each of the main campus housing groups. So if you know anybody, or if you yourself are in one of the campus housing units, we'd really like to have you, as well as people who live off campus. It'd be great. We have a very strong tradition of representing in terms of transportation. There's a lot of transportation issues that go on at this university, where people make decisions, and it means that graduate students are going to have to pay another, you know, $800 for their parking pass. And we've been really strong advocates for making sure that graduate student needs are really accommodated in terms of transportation. So this year we're starting a group that brings together all of our transportation representatives who have to sit on all these various committees all over campus and get them talking to each other. So one of the big ones is Transportation Advisory Council. Advisory Committee. I want to highlight that because it's a very active committee. It's a really important role. We've had a number of people from this assembly who go on to other leadership positions be on that council and really be a voice for graduate students. And those applications, if you're interested in those roles, need to be in a little bit earlier because their first meeting is the 15th or 18th of September. 18th. So then other...
Due
on the 15th. Okay. So just to go really quickly over this list and let you know, the other assemblies, the University Assembly and Faculty Senate and the Undergraduate Assembly also have a couple of committees that are open for grad students, and these are mostly here if you're interested in things like Cornell Dining, if you're interested in information technology policy, if you're interested in health services policy at a larger kind of university level, those are available to have a graduate student representative on them. And then there are several other committees that are on this list. One that is not on this list that needed to be there for some reason not in this version is the University Neighborhood Council that Gwen was talking about. Can I ask you all to take out a pen and add to the bottom of other committees, University Neighborhood Council? We need one more representative on that committee to help Gwen out and be a voice for or against deer culling or otherwise. But you'll notice there that those are committees run by, for example, the graduate school, by Gannett, by whatever. And those are the opportunities to have a graduate student there who says, here are the needs of the grad student population, here's what's going on at the GPSA, and can actually inform the sort of policy decisions that go on at those levels. So if you have any questions about any of these, if you're like, I'm kind of interested in this issue, I don't know if I want to be on this or whatever, please come up and talk to us afterwards, because actually all of us will be available after this meeting to talk to you about our committees if you have any other questions. And would you like to make that announcement?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because Arnold is in charge of those committees.
Yeah, I'm going to oversee, as a secretary, it's my job to oversee that, you know, you guys are satisfied with the committees and that, you know, you find out what your interests are and that you can hopefully mark it down on the sheet and get it to me. Or the deadline for committee sign-up, if you are interested, is due on the 20th. If you see something here that you like or you have problems matching yourself, you don't know exactly what something does, please talk to one of us afterwards and we can all be helpful in that regard. And I will actually amend the website tonight so that you guys can, if you want to apply in the near future, it'll be up in the next day or two. So I think that's it.
Questions? Anne?
Yeah, the Office of the Assemblies would be great.
That is 109 Day Hall. Isn't that right? 109?
Yes, 109.
Any other questions on committees, applying to be on committees? You can ask questions afterwards to us, too, after the meeting's over. Okay, seeing as we have no questions, it's time for an election. We have two seats available for master's degree students. These seats are not available if you're in a master's PhD program, but if you're in any... master's, which is usually a 1 to 2 or 3 year program. This is a seat for you. Basically, we need at least one of these seats to be a master's of engineering student because there's so many of them. We have written that into our charter that we need that representation. So how we're going to run this election is we're going to first have a call for nominations, and anyone can nominate themselves or another master's student. And then after the nominations are finished, we're going to have a period where each candidate can speak about their experience for about 60 seconds. And then we're going to have a question and answer session so that members of the community can ask members of the nominated students to answer a question that they feel is important. And then we're also, after that period, we're going to have our first election for the Masters of Engineering position, and in that position we'll only have the Masters of Engineering students run. I'll have your names up on the projector. After that position has been elected, the field will be open to any other Masters degree students, including the MEng students that did not win the first election. Are there any questions?
Yeah, Mike, I think you should clarify who are eligible to vote.
Okay, every member of the Council of Representatives is eligible to vote.
For this seat.
Can you explain a little bit about the role of this representative and the type of responsibility?
Sure, it's a representative who joined. Can I take?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you'd actually joined the assembly. You joined the small group that isn't the big group that is part of the voting body. So we're normally 17 seats are decided at the beginning of the summer, and then at the beginning of the school year, as the new master's students come, we elect two more to make a body of 19. So you would have to come to an extra meeting a month
because the assembly meets on sort of alternate two-week Mondays, so there's the assembly meeting and the core meeting as well. You'd be allowed and eligible to vote on any of the resolutions that come before us and basically be a full member of the GPSA assembly. Does that clarify that?
Yes. Any other questions? All right, I am opening the floor to nominations. To anyone.
Any master student.
Any master student. Okay. You are?
Kenny.
I
think
Chang. What's your field?
Master.
Okay.
Jason Moore.
Anyone else? Engineering student? Should clarify, we have to keep the MN student seat open until October. So if somebody doesn't run, we have to hold another election in October. Is there anyone else who would like to run for any of these positions? David? David Day? What's your field? Okay. Anyone else? All right, I'm closing the floor for nominations. Okay. Seconds, and then I'll. Okay, I'm going to continue. And are there any objections? Okay, congratulations, David. You're the new. David. Why? Actually, why don't you give us a little bit of your background too? David. I once had a coach who told me to embrace the nerdiness. I don't know if that. Yeah, whatever.
So, shout out to round of applause to David.
Okay, round of applause to David. Okay, I'm going to put the.
You sure?
It's Chen.
What's the name? Chen.
It's Chen, not Chang.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to ask each of these two candidates to give about 60 seconds on why they feel they're right for this position, their background, whatever they want to say to this assembly. So Kenny, please go.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Kenny Chen. I did my undergraduate at the University of Toronto. I worked under the Dean of Students for 2 years for student leadership development, and I was the core representative, student representative for the Interaction University for Community Service Work. So my last year I worked as the liaison for the university and community service around the Greater Toronto area. I was also elected valedictorian for the class when I was graduated in because of my involvement in leadership and so forth. I believe students are a big part of the university, obviously. We should be informed, and I really strongly believe that graduates have just same we should be informed as undergraduates as well, because we're so engraved into our research and so forth. So it's really important to have a voice and someone that actually will carry information to us. So I don't know, I want to make this call, and it's going to be good times, and I do look forward to being here. So thank you.
Thank you, Kenny. And Jason.
My name is Jason Moore. I graduated from Cornell School of Agriculture in 2002. The last 4 years I've been working as a cargo and nutrition and plant manager. I started out in Swan, Vermont. I trained there for a year. I have been in Connecticut for another year. The last 2 years I've been in Sarasota Springs. As a plant manager, I'm a female, small operation, ran two shifts. Really engaged workforce, I enjoyed it a lot. But the same program, I'm extremely happy back here at Cornell University, program in real estate. Small program, about 40 kids total, 2 year program, architecture school, hotel school, Japanese school. I'm really excited about that. I'm definitely a hands-on person. I like working with people.
Thank you, Jason. Are there any questions for the candidates?
This is the part where you guys get to talk and get involved. Great.
Oh, no, pass.
Are there any questions or any issues you guys would like to see brought to the table for the GPSA? Just something you had in mind before you came to the core meeting today?
We'll start with Jason.
Yeah, are there issues that you guys had in mind, or what was on your mind before you came to the core meeting today? Just things that you'd like to bring back to the GPSA, something that you're feel passionate about with regards to Cornell?
Any other questions?
So, do both candidates know that we should usually be free on Mondays and Saturdays and Sundays? I mean, we actually do our 10 hours a week to see how we're doing. Let's try to make sure we get started.
You're both available during that time?
So I don't have my
okay. Monday's 5:30 to 7:00, usually biweekly.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Anything else before I close questioning? All right. The questioning session is closed. In front of you, you have pink ballots. Use only one of them. All council members, which I assume is pretty much every student here, can vote in this election. And you have the choice between Kenny Chan and Jason Moore. All you have to do is write down their names.
And then Amy will come around and collect them. Okay. In the meanwhile, while you're doing this, we should introduce Amy O'Donnell, who is
Assemblies Coordinator.
I'm sorry, Amy, I always do that. The Assemblies Coordinator at the Office of Assemblies. Amy is a real resource for us in the GPSA and divides her time between all the assemblies, but she's a great resource for all of us.
Thank you.
Richard, could you speak? Could you just introduce yourself and tell the council what you do? This is Richard Kelly, the acting director of graduate and graduate student life. Or
this is actually one of the more important things we do for the end of this meeting. Is that? Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. He's been there. Great. So just while Amy is continuing this, I want to start this goal setting open forums / activity. Just like how we had Alan Katz come here tonight and tell us what was going on with athletics, and we're going to have a lot of our byline groups come in so they can be on the hot seat and you can ask them questions about what's going on for grads. We also want to know who else we can bring in, because we do want to make the core, even though this meeting today is more like us talking at you with information, we do want to make this a lot more interactive, and we want to bring in the people that you want to talk to and have them there for you to ask them questions and meet them. So what I'd like you to do is, we're going to talk about this really quickly in the last few minutes we have left, if there's any suggestions. But we do want to know if there's anybody in particular, an issue that you think is important that we should address this year, a person, an administrator, a profession, a professor, the person who organizes where books get stacked, the whatever. It can be an official title or it can be not, that you want to meet. It could be John Cleese. We'll see what we can do. Or a unit or department on campus that really needs to be talking to grad students. I want you to think now for a minute about who you want to see here at these meetings so that we can make these as interactive and as useful and as productive for us as possible and get you guys talking to them and get them talking to us. So you have an extra ballot in front of you, and I'd like you to use that to write down any of these suggestions and ideas. But in the last few minutes that we have left, if anybody has anything they would like to throw out onto the floor as one of these examples or one of these people, this is your chance.
And I'm going to put this as a rule, you can put down David Scorton because I think he's already going to come to one of these meetings. So
yeah.
Think of somebody else.
And then we're going to take this away, see what we can do, see who we can bring and whatever. So yeah, who do you want to see here? An empty floor, not an empty floor. Someone with public speaking lessons.
Just check. You said that you get your funds from the graduate school or from Cornell, right? Or is it just from the grad students?
The funds we distribute is from grad students.
They're all from grad students?
Yeah, that's the $68 that you pay, $34 a semester on as an activity fee.
Are we able to ask Cornell for any funds today? Because if we could, then maybe we should ask for an executive board that has a school that comes to us.
We were working so hard at telling people who we were. Okay.
So
all right.
That's what I'm saying. If we could get more money, that would help a lot. And I imagine that story would be one of the first.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if this is the person, but it's an issue that I've been getting up through the pay and benefits and it's summer funding for graduate students. You know, many of us are international students, and we often stay here during the whole summer. The paycheck that you get for a regular research assistant is like cut almost in half, which is the fact that it's in my department.
Actually, last year I went to the MSMA. We discussed about the summer funding issue with other student leaders from other schools. At least Yale student body also noticed this issue, and they actually put up maybe $20,000 as a funding source available for tryouts, and they get about 100 applications for the funding. So they collect the information, they write a summary, and send it to school, and say, this is the issue. Because lack of funding really bothers students, and they can't continue their research. And I think we are trying to get some funding from the school. After I come back, I proposed to do something similar, because last year I was the finance commission chair. But in order to provide funding for students, that will occupy a large chunk of our funding, and it really doesn't support that many students, maybe 10 at least, at most. So we do need to have come up with some ways to do this. Maybe if people are interested in this issue, they can either serve on finance commission or pay a benefit committee, and then talk to corresponding students.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
If I can add to that, it might depend on the department you're in. And I don't think all departments have the same rates for the summer. Because I'm an engineer, and you actually get paid more in the summer than we do during the school year. The stipend actually increase. And then during the school year, they go back down. So it might be that depending on your college or your department, you change it. So you might be able to address something like that at the department level before we can think.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like,
guess
my point was, I don't know how it works, and
yeah,
maybe that is what
my
past year
yep,
tell me
to explain and figure that out.
Where
yep, good point. Great one. Any other? Yeah. That's a big issue, and that's something we've worked on a lot over the last few years, and there's always sort of this promise that there is a new child care facility coming, and it's always sort of a promise that there's a new child care facility coming. So chasing that down would be great. I know what the pay and benefits survey we did 2 years ago also showed that was a clear need, so that's a great great thing to track down and see who we can bring here to talk about that. Thank you. We have one or two other ones before we... Yeah, that's been a thing, and I know that they put that in again this year, and people were grandfathered last year who got free bus passes still get free bus passes again. There were a lot of discussions about transportation last year, and so yeah, we can absolutely bring those people in. If you're interested in that issue, if you're passionate about that issue, absolutely sign up for one of those transportation things, because that's where you're sitting at the table with the people that are making those policy decisions or with the people writing the documents that go to make those policy decisions and lobbying. So yeah, absolutely. We could use good representation there, and also we'll see what we can do to bring someone in.
Helen?
Also on that issue of transportation and the bus passes,
if you drive a motorcycle, which is a limited use vehicle, you're not eligible for a bus pass. So if anybody here has a motorcycle, please talk to me, because I'm thinking of starting some kind of motorcycle committee.
Ellen has a motorcycle.
Yeah. Yeah, if you have a motorcycle parking pass, you have to give up your bus pass if it was free or pay the rest of it. So that's kind of an issue. I'm thinking of just putting flyers on people's motorcycles. It's such a finite group. But I thought if anybody else here had one, it would be a good way to start it.
Or know someone in your apartment who has one.
Okay, Emery?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. I know that's an issue that Mao, one of the student elected trustees, is really interested in as well. I don't remember what happened with the recommendations from last year. I'll have to chase that up. But yeah, getting someone in here to talk about that is great.
Actually, so can I just jump in? So we have the House Insurance Advisory Committee, and that committee actually is the committee who decides on who oversees the bidding process. Actually, last year was the bidding year of our healthcare provider, and I think we go for Chickling Group again. And I think every 4 years we have this bidding process like run again. So that committee is asking our involvement as well. So we have a graduate student seat at least in that committee. If you are interested, just let me know.
Okay, with that.
Don't forget to fill out your little ballot if there's other things that you want to say, because we'll take those and collate them and circulate a list.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm going to announce the winner of the election, and congratulations, Kenny Chan. You're the new Masters representative. So with that, we have a full assembly that will meet on September 25th at 5:30 to 7 p.m. in the Big Red Barn. The next Council of Representatives meeting is scheduled to be on October 16th at the Big Red Barn. That is a change from here, or that's both a change from here, venue-wise, and a change in the original time of that, the original date of that. So it's now October 16th. It used to be October 9th. Because of fall break, we had to change it to October 16th. Hope to see you all there. We'll have pizza, and we'll get straight to work.
Time.
And we'll have a great time. Thank you all for coming. I know we were in a little late, but with that, I'll adjourn the meeting. And take the green sheets, fill them out. If you haven't signed up for this, signed up on this form with the name field and address and phone number, please do so. And if you want to stick around and talk to any of us, we're here. So have a good night.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
you can hand them a donut right now.
Thank
you.
Thank
you
for running.
Yeah,
that was great. And, you know, other seats open up throughout the year and stuff, so there's always other options.